This is a production of Cornell University.
Welcome back to the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. It's the 23rd edition this year. Joined as always with Dr. Frank Rossi. And as always, we'll start with the weather forecast, Frank. In terms of temperature, precipitation, and even soil temperatures, starting to feel a little bit like fall, right?
Yeah. So, Carl, we're here in what you exactly said, fall-like conditions in, I believe, the sort of astrological summer period is over. The calendar summer period isn't over until the end of September. And I can tell you, in the past, we've had a history of the last decade or so of very long, warm falls. And so this is a very unusual condition. Most of us, adequate moisture along the New England coast, fairly dry. And as you said, soils are fairly warm, which makes it ideal conditions for some practices we're going to talk about later. But the other thing that was interesting was the dollar spot model indicating high levels of dollar spot. And sometimes fall dollar spot can be very, very severe, almost pitting out the turf. But it is an opportunity if you want to take a more ecological approach to managing the populations. With these weather conditions that we're having, dry weather expected, that if you're really having continued problems with widespread dollar spot, maybe you should let it take it out a little bit. Maybe those are the kinds of plants you don't want around there. Allowing our stands of turf to thin a little bit naturally from those diseases really leads us to a more sustainable approach, Carl. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about sustainable and we got dry weather coming, why don't we talk a little bit about irrigation stuff?
Yeah, so let's talk about MAD, maximum allowable deficit. What kind of is this concept, and how can we use the conditions that we've seen in the Northeast to kind of calibrate ourselves to what this maximum allowable deficit is?
Yeah, and it's one that you see a lot in agriculture, certainly one that's used in Australia and many dry parts of the world, especially where flood irrigation is used, right? Because when you're flood irrigating and you're flooding the ground, obviously the evaporative demand gets very high. So you only want to be able to water when you're, whatever you're growing is experiencing as much stress as it will allow, right? And so that's where the concept of a maximum allowable deficit comes from. So especially at this time of year, first of all, you got cool weather conditions, right? Very low ET. Art was saying like barely 3/4 of an inch all of last week. So the sun is tracking down in the sky. So how much of a deficit can your plants or soils move to, right? When does it wilt to the point where you think, okay, now I'm going to lose it? Or when does this stand dry out, or the soil dry out enough where it says, ooh, it's going to start cracking soon? Or, boy, that putting surface, if I let it get too dry, it seals up, or they can't even land a ball on it, right? Mm-hmm. Or that athletic field, when it's at that moisture deficit, they really can't get their cleats in it. So whatever your maximum allowable deficit is, how do you max out the deficit? What's the furthest you can go? Keep what you want as far as turf conditions, but keep the water away as long as possible. And I think now that you have dry conditions, I like them in the spring and I like them in the fall, because the ET demand is so low, Carl, you can really stretch out your intervals, which drives the root system down. Ultimately, we're talking about trying to drive that root system into all those holes everybody likes to make, particularly at this time of year.
Yeah. So that's the kind of the final topic we'll transition into is the cultivation techniques that everybody's doing, it seems, around here in the Northeast, aerification. You wrote about it in your Shortcut newsletter. Maybe you could expand a little bit on which kinds of cultivation methods would be beneficial for certain circumstances.
Right, right. Good. And so just in a synopsis, the first thing I tell you is, you know, make a hole. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter what kind of, it matters what you're trying to accomplish. So why are you doing the cultivation? What is the goal? Is it to make room to put some sand in to dilute organic matter? Is it to break through a layer and create a sand channel that water can leave the surface? Is it to fracture the soil so that it's a little bit on the dry side now if you use aerifiers that have a kick in them like the VertiDrain? or a knife that causes the turf to shatter a little bit. You can get additional relief of compaction. And ultimately, that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to relieve compaction and maintain good infiltration of water. And once you're doing those two things and maybe keeping the thatch level at bay with top dressing and the surface firm with some top dressing, right? You've accomplished many of the goals that people are going to be using these things for. Now, if you're going to hollow tine and bring up soil because you might be wanting to do some overseeding, or maybe you're going to use it if it's a sandy soil as a poor man's top dressing, all of those things are viable options, but be goal-oriented when you consider your cultivation, right? Just like your goal with irrigation might be maximum allowable deficit. If you're goal-oriented with your cultivation, you'll be able to much better use all the tools that are available to meet the goals that you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, when it comes to setting your goals for cultivation in the fall, it may be a good idea to share those goals with your crew members as well, and allow them to be able to tell membership or the players on the golf course why exactly you're aerifying, because that can be a point of contention for many golfers in the fall who want to get out there before the season ends. Why are they poking holes in the ground? Well, if your crew members understand the goals and understand the process behind cultivation, they can concisely relay that to any players and maybe educate the golfers on why we do what we do on a golf course. With that, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us for the Shortcut Early Bird Podcast. We'll see you next week.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.